I love this part of the Bible, and it's about John on Patmos Island, and when he looks through a door into heaven and he sees God sitting on the throne. And that's amazing to me. And I remember years ago I used to think, well, you know, that was nice for John, but, you know, rest of us out here, you know, we don't get that. But let me tell you, we do. God does not have any restrictions. What he requires is faithfulness and commitment. You can't just sit down in prayer one day and say, Lord, I want to see your glory, or Lord, I want to see an open door into heaven. It takes commitment, takes, you know, seeking after God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. You see, to really know who we are, we have to truly know God. I can tell you that who you are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ and you are seated with him in heavenly places. But that doesn't sink in to most of us. It doesn't affect our changing ways in our life or whatever. We just continue to be the same old person. But let me tell you, anything that God is involved in is going to continuously change for the good. Because God wants to work in every one of our lives to bring us to the point of perfection. And immediately we say to ourselves, well, I can't be perfect, you know, only God's perfect. But that's not what God said. He said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. So we have to keep in mind, in the realm of our being in Christ, there's that possibility that we can actually reach perfection one day. And it should be something that we really strive after instead of just letting it float by, you know, and not doing anything to try to make it happen. But There's some things missing in our lives as Christians, I think. And I think this morning we need to look at this story about John. Isaiah discovered it back in the Old Testament. And he witnessed a praise and worship service. And he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And so somehow Isaiah broke through something in the atmosphere where he saw the throne room of heaven and what was going on in heaven, and he wrote about it. So this morning, I want us just to kind of relax and just truly invite the Spirit of God to come and just let him work a work in our hearts this morning, in our spirits. We're all capable. We've got Jesus Christ in us. We've got the Spirit of God in us. So we've got what we need. We just need the willingness, okay? And if you're sitting there thinking, if you think I'm going to believe you that I can see into heaven, you got another thing coming. Well, bless you. But this is reality. You're not looking at reality. And that's what we need to do, start looking at reality. And reality is in heaven. It's not down here on this earth. Forever is in heaven, not here on this earth. Amen. So I want to allow the Spirit of God to just be able to give all of us a glimpse of what John saw as he sat on Patmos Island that day. So, Lord, I ask you that by your Holy Spirit, you would come and touch every heart in this room, Father. Just lead us into that place, Lord, where we can see you. Not necessarily face to face, but Lord, that we can get a glimpse of who you are as you sit enthroned in heaven. So, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do here this morning. We give you all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so John, he was taken to Patmos Island. And, of course, like you and I, he was a victim of the circumstances in his life. And he had been brought here as a criminal, as far as the Roman government was concerned. Before they dropped him off on the island, they dropped him in boiling oil and then kicked him off on this island to die. And so this punishment had come at the hands of a Roman ruler who hated John. And it looked like to John that this Roman ruler was the one that was in control of all things, including John. And even including John's five senses that he had. And he appeared at this point in his life that he was at the mercy of the enemy. I don't know how many people in here have been dropped into a pot of boiling oil, but that's bound to hurt. I mean, severely. And so here he is in pain. I know he was in agony, not only in the physical realm, but I imagine in the spiritual realm, crying out, Lord, where are you? And we've all been in that shape at one time or another. Lord, where are you? I can't see you. I can't feel you in my situation. And so you and I find ourselves in similar positions, just like he did. And maybe we've never had that kind of suffering like John was suffering that day. But we do get caught up in circumstances. And we can get into some painful emotional circumstances for sure. And a lot of times painful in the physical realm. And we can even be standing in bondage to the visible things of life that we can see. But for some reason, we don't have the ability to be able to deal with it. And so we're stuck with it. And it looks like there's no way that we're ever going to be set free. So like John, we can just sit in our circumstances, you know, be lonely and desperate, thinking that any minute the bottom is going to drop out further and we'll never get back. But the question is, what do we need to do when we're there? I don't want you to raise up your hand, but have you ever been there? I know I have. And it's not a pleasant place to be. And sometimes in a lifetime, you can run through several of these. So we need to look and see what John encountered during all this time. And you see, if you're honest with yourself, you can relate to John's position. Maybe not. Maybe you've never had that kind of pain, but you can relate to being lonely, stranded, nobody around you, just you and the hurt that's in your life or in your heart or whatever. And you look at yourself, you see yourself totally consumed. You're totally controlled in your outward appearance by the visible world that you live in. And let me add, it sometimes that can be a miserable world, not just visible, but miserable. And so John made a statement. He said, on that day during the deepest time of intense despair, I heard a voice. And I don't know if you've ever been there and heard that voice, but it's real. You know, I talk to people all my ministry years and tell people about, you know, you can hear God. You can hear Him, but you have to prepare yourself. And God speaks very clearly when He speaks. And I love it because I find out a lot of things from God that I wouldn't known any other way. But this is what happened to John. He said, I heard a voice. And, And suddenly John has this visual perception that things are not the way he thought they were. And that's what we need. We need to be able to look at our circumstances and see the perspective that God sees them and understand they're not as bad as we thought they were. Now, as we're sitting here this morning, I'm going to do what no other pastor would probably do. I'm going to tell you that you can close your eyes during my message. No snoring. But you can close your eyes because you focus better when your eyes are closed. And John really said, you know, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So, you know, he was praying. He was seeking God. And so we need to get ourselves, our physical body, in that mode of looking for God, listening to God, see what God might say. So feel free to do that. I'm not going to condemn you in any way. But anyway, John saw the Lord. And again, I want us to understand it's not that hard, but it takes the effort on our part. Faithful effort. And you see, we allow the world and we allow the enemy to work in our minds all the time. You understand that? You are affected by the things of the world every day because you've got ears to hear and you've got eyes to see, and it's what you do with what you hear and see that makes the difference in your life. And so here John is in pain, wondering how long he's going to live. And suddenly he sees the Lord, or he sees a door, actually was the first step that he took. So I want us to take a step this morning to allow the Spirit of God that access into our spirit. Okay? And we're going to read a passage out of Revelation. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. But when John turned to see who the voice was or who it belonged to, this is how he described it in verse 12. He said, I saw seven candlesticks, and in the middle of the seven candlesticks, he saw one like the Son of Man. Now, let me stop there a minute. The last time that John saw Jesus was in the physical realm. And he even saw him when he ascended off of this earth into heaven. But this is not the same Jesus that he saw. This is not the same Jesus he ministered with on this earth. This is something even greater and more powerful than he could have ever imagined. But this is what he said. I saw one like the Son of Man. And he was clothed with a robe which reached to his feet and with a girdle of gold about his breast. And his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. And his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet glowed like burnished bronze, as it is refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. His face was like the sun shining in full power in the middle of the day. Have you ever seen Jesus like that? You see, we can put forth effort, spend time in his presence, and the opportunity is always there that you could see him one day. Now, when you see him, you'll know him not only from John's description, but when you come into the presence of Jesus like that, you're going to have a sudden urgency to fall on your face. That's what Isaiah did. He said, I fell on my face and realized just how messed up I was, to translate it in modern day terms. But you see, you'll recognize Jesus by the majesty of His glory. We talk about the glory a lot in this church, but let me tell you, Jesus is the manifestation of God's glory. That's what He is. And you can see Him in that way. But listen, I don't want you to be discouraged either. If you don't visibly see Him, or you can't visibly see Him this morning, you can feel His presence. And that's what happens in this church. Sometimes His presence gets so powerful in here that it's awesome. And we just have to kind of back up and look at ourselves to see we're nowhere near where we need to be. Amen? So, if you don't visibly see Him, well, don't let that discourage you. Because the Spirit of God is faithful. And if you'll keep pursuing this in your life, then I promise you're going to have an encounter with Him. One like you never thought that could happen in your life. Now, after Jesus revealed Himself to John, He gave John a task. He tells him, I want you to write down what I'm going to tell you. And then after he was finished writing, something happened. So let's move on with John, because we're about to see things as they really are. Not the way we think they are, but we're going to see things the way they really are. So in Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, John writes, after this encounter with Jesus, after seeing Him, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard addressing me like the calling of a war trumpet said, come up here. And I will show you what must take place in the future. And at once I came under the Holy Spirit's power, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. Now, wouldn't that be awesome? And I think that's a part of God's plan for us, because we're going to find out the impact that visibly seeing this can have in the realm of your praise and worship. Behold, a door standing open in heaven. Now, a door indicates that there's an opening of some kind. The word that's used in the New Testament is portal, P-O-R-T-A-L, which is an opening. But it was an opening to where? You and I come to many doors in our life. Some get opened and some get slammed shut. But this is a door that was free to look through. And John is seeing something. And we need to begin to move toward that experience in our life, that we too might be able to see something through that door. In fact, as born-again believers, we're capable of seeing this. And you see, John was looking into the real world. And I like that. The first time this ever, impacted me was when I realized that, heaven is totally different than this earth. Oh, there's a lot of powerful things that occur on this earth, but they're not a drop in the bucket to what goes on in heaven. And so John was seeing things that like they really are. And there was another encounter like this over in the Old Testament. Elisha, the prophet, he had a servant named Gehazi. And Elisha got the king of Syria upset, and so he decided not only was he going to come destroy Elisha, but he's going to destroy Judah and Israel. And so here's this huge army that surrounds the city. And Gehazi, he's looking at it and thinking, well, this is my last day on this earth. And he says something to Elijah about the power of the army that was out there. And Elisha prayed to God, the scripture says. And he said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see what is real. So you see, we need to see what is really real, not what this world presents. And seeing in the spirit realm is a possibility for Christians. Again, I'm going to keep repeating that because I want you to get it in your spirit. It can be done. Now, let's go back to John. Yeah, he's still standing on Patmos Island, but his stay there was only temporary. And we have to look at our stay as well. Our stay on this earth is only temporary. What's important is what we do while we're here. But we're not going to live on this place for eternity. We've got another place that's reserved for us. In fact, we're all living in temporary quarters. You see, this is my real home right here, but it's only temporary. Because the day is going to come when I leave this home. And I hear the world say, well, he's in a better place. He's in a better place. I guarantee you I'll be in a better place. But not everybody's going to be in that place that thinks that they are. And that's the tragedy of things. This world, and especially in the United States, has this mentality that everybody's going to heaven. And that's not what the scripture says. And so we need to get serious about our future. The reality of heaven compared to what this world presents. And so he's seeing what this real world looks like. And all of a sudden, John realizes that, hey, that Roman ruler is nothing. He's not in charge of my life. And we need to recognize that. There's nobody on this earth that's in charge of your life. You are. Now, you can get put in prison like Paul did, and, for declaring the goodness of God and the life of Jesus Christ. But that shouldn't matter because it's not the real world. There's circumstances. But God has a better deal for you. Amen? So the voice bid John to come up, and as he enters into the reality of the unseen world, he sees something else. He sees a throne. And you see, John suddenly understood that things are not out of control in his life. And it's the same with you this morning. Things are not out of control in your life, even though the devil wants you to think that. But if you're in Christ Jesus, God is in control of your life. And you have to believe that and receive that and walk in that. You see, the devil has not won. Evil has not triumphed over you. So look around. Where you're living right now is not the real world. There's real authority in this world. There is control in this world, but there's not rule in this world. Our God reigns. To me, that's one of the most powerful songs that we can sing. Our God reigns. Amen. So you see, John, you see, fellow believer, that you got things backwards. We're always focused on earthly things, not heavenly things. And Paul even wrote, he said, don't think on worldly things. He said, think on those things that are above, those things that are pure, those things that are holy. That's where reality is. Not here on this earth. And the world does not control your circumstances. Does not control your universe. And this world is not the first and the last. Jesus is. Amen? Now, John said, I saw a throne and someone was sitting on it. Well, that must have been awesome to see that. I saw a throne and somebody was sitting on it. There is absolutely somebody sitting on a throne in heaven who is sovereign. And he's in control. And his name is Yahweh. Amen. Now, John didn't see God face to face, but he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was the Almighty God that was sitting on this throne of authority and that God was in control. This is the foundation of your praise. You know, we can say, oh, I love God, you know. But until you understand the authority and the power of God and see that He indeed is sitting on a throne in heaven in total control, you're not going to be able to praise Him in the capacity that God would like to see. Oh, you say, I love Him. Yeah, we love Him. But we're still not, you know, all the time committed to Him. We're still not, you know, truly laid down our lives for Him. And you know, one of the worst things that can affect Christian lives is church. Be careful, Pastor, what you say here. But truly, I mean, we can get so caught up in a church that runs like a country club, and we are members, and we give our money, but we don't have to do nothing. And that's one of the biggest lies from the devil. And God wants His people, His children, to recognize that and come and commit themselves in the greatest capacity that we can. And that capacity is understanding that God is in control. Amen? You're not controlled by what you see in the physical. You're not controlled by the things that you don't see. I mean, you are controlled by the things you don't see. That's faith. And what does the Scripture say? The just are to live by faith. Not by what you see, but what you don't see. So we need to put on our heavenly glasses this morning and begin to look at things from heaven's perspective. And you're going to begin to realize God is in control. Now, as John was going along in this experience, he began to take steps. Steps one, recognize Jesus. Step two, that voice that came out of heaven, you know. And then you see a door, you look in, and then you see God seated on the throne. And so there's a pattern here that we need to follow. And so John got the things right because he followed the instructions of Jesus. So how do we follow? Where are the instructions found? If we're not hearing Jesus, how do we know what He said? Anybody got a Bible? Lift it up. That's how you know. Amen. That's how you know. So I want us to spend a little time this morning together. But we want to get things right this morning. And it's time that we look beyond our circumstances and find God's manifest presence in this place and in our life. And I also want us to see that there is indeed a door open into heaven. And I hope at least, you know, a few of you can see it this morning. Because we're going to spend just a little bit of time asking God to show us that. And I want us to see what's real. And I want us to just be in that reality just for a few minutes. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this. Since we consider and look not at the things that are seen. So that's the way we're going to first approach this. We're not going to get into things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporary, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. So that's what we're looking for this morning. I'm not worried about what you're going to have for lunch, and you shouldn't be either. I'm not worried about all the problems in your life, and you shouldn't be either. Because let me tell you, God wants to take all of these things off of you. He knows what to do with them. He knows how to handle them. But you've got to convince your spirit that God is in control. Amen? You've got to convince yourself of that. So I'm going to ask Abby to come. And I'm going to ask her to sing a song. And while she's singing it, again, I want you to just close your eyes and just begin to allow the Spirit to lead you this morning into places that you've never been. And right now, I want you to shut off everything that you brought in here. What am I going to do about this tomorrow? Or how am I going to pay this tomorrow? Or what do I need for the rest of the week? How am I going to get myself healed when there's something wrong with me? We're going to just spend a little time getting to know the one who sits on the throne and is in total control. Amen? So you can prepare by just closing your eyes. Just keep them closed. Don't be looking around to see what somebody else is doing or maybe what experience they're having, because you'll miss yours. But we just simply want what God wants.
To be one with you, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my just how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. You're my King. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. You're my King. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. You're my King. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. You're my King.
Becoming one with the Spirit of God. And that's the key to everything in the kingdom of God. May God send Jesus, yes, to die for us and to pay for the penalty of our sin, but God sent the Spirit of God too. And He's who we're supposed to work with every day. Whether it be in just walking out our daily life or seeking after that door into heaven, seeking after getting to know in a deeper relationship with that God who is in control. And it's all about changing our perspective. And you have to be in the Word to do that. You have to live in these experiences that you have with God. So let me encourage you this week, spend a little time doing something different in relationship with God. Maybe all you do is pray, you know, and you know, ask God to build the relationship, and that's great. But spend a little time talking to Him. Talk to Him about how great He is, how wonderful He is. Tell Him that you love Him. Thank Him for His love. Thank Him for His grace. All of these things are important to Him. And we're going to spend eternity with Him. I think we need to get to know Him better. Amen. So see what God will do in your life this week that'll be life-changing for you. Now, if you're here this morning and you need prayer for anything, let me invite you to come. If you've never received Jesus into your heart, well, today's a good day to do it. Just receive Him. Thank Him for everything that He has already done for you, and He wants to live in your life. So I'm just going to play through this song one more time. And if you need prayer for anything, we'll go ahead and come to the front.